I had just moved into a new apartment, and being the broke postgrad I was, I had pretty much nothing except a few boxes of stuff from my parents' house. It was nice to be done with school and have my own place, yeah, but I didn't even have any furniture. Like I said, I was completely broke, so I thought maybe I'd be able to find something at least decent on the free section of Facebook Marketplace. If you've ever searched for furniture on Facebook Marketplace, you know it's not great. Half the couches there are held up with duct tape or something along those lines. I knew I couldn't be picky, but I wanted something that could at least last me until I had enough money to buy a nice one. I'd been scrolling for well over an hour and was probably already a week into the backlogs. I scrolled back to the top and refreshed the page. The second I did, I saw an ad pop up titled, "Brand New Couch, Never Used, Free for Pickup." The post wasn't even a minute old, and I knew I had to be quick if I was going to have a chance at getting this thing. The couch was in perfect condition. I quickly typed out a response to the seller, saying I'd be willing to take it off their hands. I got a response not even 3 minutes later that read, "Yeah, the couch is all yours if you can come pick it up tonight. I'm available anytime past 9 PM. I was slightly put off by the response. It was currently noon, and this guy wanted me to wait till 9 PM to pick it up, way past when the sun would have gone down. But I ignored it, thinking maybe the guy had worked till then or something. So I texted him back saying that was fine, and proceeded to wait. Come 8:30, and I sent over a text to the guy saying I was on my way. I typed in the guy's address, and quickly realized the guy lived in the middle of nowhere. Now, I live right next to the Rocky Mountains, so yeah, there aren't that many people nearby, but this guy was seriously in the middle of nowhere. My GPS said it would take 45 minutes to get there, so I quickly set off. As I drove, the housing development slowly became less and less frequent. My GPS eventually took me on these really sketchy one-way dirt roads. About 10 minutes later, it said I arrived. Sure enough, there was an actually decent looking house, but there was no other civilization for at least a few miles. Somehow, I had service and was able to send out a text telling the guy I was there. Not even 10 seconds later, I got a response simply saying okay. I figured that was this guy's way of telling me he was ready, so I walked up to the front door. I knocked on the door, to which someone responded in a muffled voice.
"The door's unlocked. Come on in."
From the way the voice sounded, it was as if whoever said it was right on the other side of the door. I opened the door and peeked inside before entering. I quickly realized how weird this situation was. The place was pitch black, with not a single light on. Now, this was before every cell phone had a flashlight on it, so literally all I could use to help me see was the moonlight shining in from one of the windows. I yelled out a hello, to which I could hear someone responding from a door on my left that was open, and I could tell it led to a basement. The voice said,
"Come on down here. I got the couch ready to be moved."
At this point, I was completely on edge. I replied, saying,
No, that's okay. I gotta go."
I turned around, swung open the front door, and started running back to my car. I unlocked it, got in, and proceeded to relock the doors. I gave one last glance at the house before leaving. No one had chased me, though through one of the windows, I could see the dark outlines of four different men just looking out at my car. I booked it out of there at that point, and drove straight back to my apartment. When I got back, I checked my phone to see I had three new messages from the guy's number. The first one asked why I left, followed by one asking if I still wanted the couch. But the third one is what disturbs me most. It simply read, "You're lucky." This is by far the most disturbing experience of my life, and has caused me to never use Facebook Marketplace or anything similar again. To this day, I'm convinced those guys in that house that night never had the intention to sell me a couch. A few weeks ago, I had to fly out to a small town I'd never been to before in order to look for a place to live at for school. I was flying alone, though before the trip, I had researched all sorts of apartments in the area on Facebook Marketplace, and was actually able to set up a few meetings to look at places. The first meeting was in the late afternoon, in a sort of remote residential area. The landlord sounded fine over email, and asked me to call him an hour before meeting him to confirm I was coming. And so I did just that. I called him an hour before, but he didn't answer. I decided to just start walking to the house and hope the landlord would show up by the time I got there. About an hour later, the guy called me. He asked me if I was still coming, to which I replied,
"Yeah, I'm actually only about 5 minutes away."
Though, the guy's reply caught me completely off guard. He replied, furious, saying I wasn't supposed to show up for another hour. I quickly realized he was right. Back then, I had a pretty old phone. It wouldn't automatically change times whenever you switch time zones. I forgot to change it manually and realized I was showing up an hour early. I explained the situation to the guy over the phone, but I could tell the dude was furious. Now, I get I was in the wrong, but still, getting that mad over something as small as this seemed weird to me. I explained to the guy I'd be willing to just stay outside of the house till the agreed upon time, to which he quickly replied saying no, almost pleading with me. At this point, alarms were going off in my head, but I ignored them as I really needed a place to live. I decided I'd just go get some food at a nearby place to pass the time, until I needed to be at the house for the tour. Once the time came for the tour, I showed up to meet the guy. The guy looked to be in his 50s, and if I'm being honest, he looked disgusting. Some of his clothes were half torn, and it didn't even look like he'd showered for weeks. I didn't feel comfortable, and found myself just wanting to leave. Though, like I said, I really needed to find somewhere to live, and there weren't that many choices in terms of real estate at that point. So I decided to stay. As I was discussing the details about the house with the guy, I couldn't help but notice a man leave the house from a back exit. This man was young, and extremely sketchy looking, even more so than the guy I was talking to. He took one look at us, ran out of the house to his car, and pulled away. At this point, I was full on disturbed. I asked the guy who that was, to which he replied it was another person he was giving a tour to earlier. The guy then proceeded to ask me a lot of questions. They weren't normal questions a landlord would ask, but rather more personal questions like how old I was, or what I was going to school for, the whole time staring into my eyes without blinking. I tried to give answers that were as vague as possible. Finally, we entered the house. Now, from the outside, the house actually looked decent, but upon entering, you could tell the place wasn't taken good care of. I followed the guy as we walked around the house looking at all the rooms. Every time I would ask about the condition of the house, the guy would avoid the question, simply saying it was unfinished. After we finished looking at all the rooms, the guy mentioned he wanted to show me a shed in the backyard of the house. Before I could say anything, the guy told me to follow him as he led me to the back of the house, outside away from the street, to this sort of detached shed. When we got there, he opened the door and I quickly noticed that there were stairs leading down into utter darkness. He flipped on a switch at the top of the stairs, but no light came on. Normally, the response for this would be surprise, or something like that, but he didn't say anything and just started slowly walking down into the utter darkness, as if he expected no light to come on. The guy was now just standing there at the bottom of the stairs, in the dark, and said,
"Aren't you coming down?"
I said nothing, still in shock that the landlord wanted me to follow him down into this dark basement cut off from the rest of the house. For whatever reason, I glanced back at the house, and saw another guy in the backyard doorway. I panicked and ran into the woods. I didn't look back, and honestly I didn't want to. I don't know if they followed me, but after about a half mile of running, I turned around to find no one. I quickly realized the situation I was in. I was in the middle of the forest at sunset, with people possibly chasing me. Though, luckily, my phone had service, and I was able to find my way back to the hotel I was staying at with no other problems. As soon as I got back, I googled the house and did some more research on it. Apparently, the house had been abandoned for 3 years. I checked the status of the original Facebook Marketplace post I'd responded to, but of course, it was deleted. I debated whether or not to call the cops and report the situation, but decided against it, as I figured there wasn't much they could do. I can only imagine the guys I encountered that night were a group of homeless people, with some unknown intentions. Whatever the case, the whole situation was extremely disturbing. My my wife and I were looking for a used car on Facebook Marketplace, and actually found one we were really interested in. It was honestly a really good deal, and as soon as we saw it, we texted the seller saying we were interested. The seller seemed perfectly normal over text, and we agreed to meet in a public mall parking lot. He said he wouldn't be available until he got off work at 5, so we agreed to do the transaction at 5:30. Come 5:30, and we arrive at the mall telling the seller what car we were in, just to get a text saying he was running late. We weren't in any hurry, and we figured he'd only be like 30 minutes or so. We both agreed it'd be a good idea to go into the mall and get some food at the food court while we waited. A good 2 hours went by, both of us pretty impatient at this point. That's when we got a text saying the guy would be at the mall soon. This was in late fall, so it was already getting dark, and we were starting to worry that the mall wouldn't be as busy soon. A little bit later, the guy texted us saying we should meet him at another location, about 30 minutes away in a rougher area of the city. I looked up the address, and found it was a gas station right off the interstate. What caught my eye was the hours. It wasn't one of those 24-hour gas stations, and they were actually already closed. My wife mentioned how many red flags the whole situation was giving off, but honestly, all I was thinking about was the car and how good of a deal we had found, so we ignored them. We sent over a text saying we'd be there in 30 minutes, and pulled out of the mall parking lot, making our way to the gas station. When we got there, we pulled into the parking lot, and quickly realized how dead the whole area was. There were only like a few vehicles parked. After about a minute, my wife pointed out the car, and sure enough there it was, but it looked to be in way worse condition than the original pictures on Facebook Marketplace. The car was in a pretty dark spot in the parking lot, way in the back. I started pulling up to it when I stopped. My wife looked at me confused, but I swear, I could see something. I got out of the car, and that's when my suspicion was confirmed. There was a spike strip right in the middle of the road, exactly where I would need to go to pull up next to the car. At that point, I knew something wasn't right. I got back in the car, backed up, and left the way I came. Once I got back home, I reported the whole situation to the cops, though I never even saw anyone. The only evidence I could give was the ad itself. I never knew what came of the whole situation, but the ad was taken down a few days later. I never heard back from the cops, so if they caught anyone or not, I don't know. Either way, this situation has caused me to be a lot more cautious when using services like Facebook Marketplace.
I bought a Nintendo Switch off a guy I met on Facebook Marketplace, and he acted so horribly after the fact that it almost put me off playing the thing entirely. It didn't really give off that nice guy vibe at first, like it was only when I'd actually met him and bought the thing that he started getting weird. He kept trying to talk to me over WhatsApp, asking me how the Switch was, if I needed any help with it, dumb patronizing stuff like that. I politely decline at first, but it quickly gets to the point where I'm just leaving the guy on read and hoping that he'll get the message. He goes quiet for a bit, but then he starts the whole flirting routine again after about a week, and I have to kind of put my foot down and tell him that I'm not interested in him that way. Again, I kind of naively think he's going to just take it on the chin and move on, but nope. He starts off this big long message because all I can see is the little such and such a person is typing thing for about half an hour every time I go back to check the message thread. When the message comes through, it's this big tirade about how he'd been kind enough to give me a discount as it is. The least I could do was have some friendly chat with him. He actually accused me of flirting with him to drive the price down, too, something I categorically deny. I'm not even into guys. Then came the threats of what he'd do to me if he ever ran into me on a dark street. By that point, I'd stopped reading entirely and just blocked his number. But he knew my name, and it's not like I can just go and change my name because of one psycho on social media. But still, I worry he'll make good on his threats one day. What knocked me sick was how he made it clear that he was bigger than me, stronger, and faster, and that no matter how much I tried, he'd easily overpower me. The fact that he rubbed that in my face is just unbelievably scummy. But what frightens me is that he's actually right. One of the creepiest things I'd ever heard in my life is the story of a woman who had her life ruined by Facebook Live, of all things. Of all the social media horror stories you hear, this is one that's affected me the most, without a shadow of a doubt. And you have to forgive me if I get any details wrong. I'm pretty sure this happened a while ago and it's been years since I read anything about it. So, this couple have a horrendous divorce. This whole nightmarish maelstrom of pettiness and malice that turned them both into nasty, vengeful people. The way I heard it, the wife basically rinsed the husband for all he was worth, got custody of the kids, got a whole bunch of financial stuff on her side. She even took her ex-husband's dog. He tried all manner of messed up things to get revenge, but by far the most brutally effective thing he ever did to terrorize her involved an ad he posted on Facebook Marketplace. Basically, he pretends to be his ex-wife and posts a bunch of ads saying how she wants to make cuddle puddles with random guys and that she'll pay for it. Not exactly the wording used in the ads, obviously, but you get the idea. But the ex-wife doesn't hear about this. The first she heard of it was when dudes actually started turning up at her house. At first she just tells one or two of the guys to get out of there, obviously, and that they made a mistake, but it just keeps happening. Guys show up at her house, with every single one expecting something R-rated. The final straw came when a guy turned up at her house with a crowbar and actually tried to break in. Cops came, arrested the guy, and he actually shows the cops the advertisement the woman was supposed to have left on Facebook Marketplace. The angry ex-husband hadn't just posted one ad, he posted several, and each one was a step up in intensity. From what I read, the ads started out kinda seedy but relatively harmless, but then went on to include some seriously graphic stuff, along with her dress and contact details. Somehow the cops managed to prove it was the ex-husband posting the messages, and I'm pretty sure he got charged with some of those new revenge-type laws they introduced. It just scares the life out of me that someone can use the internet to do you harm like that. And most of us have big enough of an online presence to make that legitimately possible. That, and it's crazy how two people, who once loved each other enough to get married, can grow to hate each other so much that they'll do things to put each other's health in jeopardy. But I suppose that's just the world we live in. In November of 2015, our family got the devastating news that my grandpa had lost his battle with cancer. And the grief we felt was made all the worse because of a decades-long rift between his two children, my dad, who's also deceased, and my aunt. I won't bore you with the grimly tedious details of their squabble, but it basically meant in a time when we needed it the least, various family members were trading petty insults and bickering over his estate. The lowest point came when my aunt's side of my family basically looted his house, then rented a U-Haul to drop off boxes of all the stuff they didn't want, which amounted to anything they didn't deem financially valuable. My mom was so mad at first, but the boxes turned out to be an absolute goldmine of journals, photo albums, and pieces of miscellaneous memorabilia. It was a lot of work going through it all, but boy was it worth it. You see, my grandpa served in the US Navy for 25 years and had sailed all over the world on various warships. His photo albums and journals told an incredible tale and included the story of how he'd met my grandma in Honolulu during a break in the fighting. Like I said, it was an heirloom gold mine, but there was also a lot of random stuff in there too. Old records and little knickknacks that we figured someone else might find valuable. I'd actually sold some stuff using Facebook Marketplace before, so I proposed to sell everything I could, then split the money three ways between me, my brother, and my mom. They were happy enough with the apartment, so I boxed up what I thought I could sell and drove home to my apartment. I took some photos, posted some ads, and was quite surprised at how quickly some of the stuff sold. The old records were especially popular, and someone even bought my grandpa's old bottle cap collection. The one thing I didn't think I'd be able to sell was this ugly little statuette, one that I assume came from the time he was stationed in the South Pacific. About the size of an old Nokia phone, it looked like it was carved out of some kind of black volcanic rock, shiny in places but rough in others. The craftsmanship was admirable, but the details were hideous. It looked like a mix between a frog and a man that was in the middle of giving birth to a pineapple. Seriously. And aside from that, it just gave me the creeps. But like I said, it was shiny, and there was a slim chance someone might see it as some kind of collector's item, so why not at least try and sell it? Needless to say, when I got a message from a user who was willing to pay my $3 asking price, I was over the moon. We arranged a pickup time, and then I thought that was that, matter over and done with. But I was wrong. I told the nice lady I'd sell it to her and we'd swap phone numbers, but I didn't actually take the listing down. So on the exact same day she was due to pick it up, I ended up getting another message from a different user. I didn't think that I'd get even one offer for the frogman, let alone two, only this new guy's message wasn't polite and inquiring. It was verging on frantic. The first message simply said, "Do you still have the idol?" And that was the first time I heard anyone use that word regarding the little carving or figure or whatever it was, and the use of the word idol struck me as distinctly odd. A technical term with sort of sinister connotations, I thought. I responded honestly, telling the guy I had already made a deal with someone for the statuette and I was sorry for wasting his time. But if I'm honest, I only replied that way to try and coax him into making a bigger offer. And that's exactly what he did, albeit in the most dramatic way possible. "Call me and name your price," his next message said, along with his phone number. Those words, "name your price," really got their hooks into me, and although the nice lady I'd spoken to already was due to stop by that day, I gave the guy a call. First thing he asked me is how much I agreed to sell his idol for. His. Now he was claiming ownership on it too. When I told him just a couple of dollars, how I just wanted to get rid of it, he acted like I had just peed on the Mona Lisa. It got to the point where I politely asked him to make an offer before I ended the call. It was business, not the antique roadshow, I thought. And oh, did he oblige me. Like I said, I put that little statue thing on Facebook Marketplace for like $3 and I thought I'd be lucky to get that for it. This guy straight up offers me $1,000 to take it off my hands. And when he mistook my grasp of surprise for a rejection, he doubled his offer. $2,000 in cash for something I thought I ended up having to throw in the trash. I was practically shaking by the time we ended the call, and I had to take a moment to compose myself before calling the prospective buyer, apologizing profusely but canceling the deal. I just couldn't turn that amount of money down, and I know that most other people would have done the same in my position. We arranged to meet in a Whole Foods parking lot, one that just so happened to be across the street from my apartment. It was somewhere I'd used for public meetings before, a well-lit place that I knew well was covered by security cameras. It was a place I usually felt pretty comfortable meeting internet strangers, but for some reason, on this particular occasion, I was anything but chill. Maybe it was the fact that I'd never sold anything for $2,000 before, and just that amount of cash made me nervous. But in retrospect, I know it was something else. What made things worse is that I had no idea when he was due to arrive either. He just said that he'd give me a call whenever he was 5 minutes away. Couldn't give me an exact time, he just kinda told me he'd be there whenever he could manage it. I figured maybe 7 to 8 p.m. would be the latest he'd arrived. It was a weekday evening after all, but those times came and went, as did 9 and 10 at night, and the guy still hadn't arrived yet. It was almost 11 at night when I finally got the call saying he was on his way. By that time, I'd basically convinced myself the whole thing was some elaborate prank. I figured I was more likely to see myself appearing on Impractical Jokers than end up 2,000 bucks richer. Point being, I was primed for disappointment. But despite being tardy, the guy was true to his word, and called me saying he was a few minutes away from the Whole Foods parking lot. And that's when the whole thing went from seeming silly to just downright dumb. Every single other time I met a buyer, it had been in broad daylight with plenty of people around, not in a barely lit deserted area. But God, That $2,000 was just too good of a prospect to ignore. I end up watching the parking lot from my window, telling myself that if the guy's car looked too sketchy or whatever, then I just turn my phone off, take the listing down, and forget the whole thing ever happened. But when this Lincoln Town Car rolls into the lot, I'm thinking, maybe this guy really is some eccentric wealthy collector. And a quick phone call confirms that it actually is him down there. So I put some shoes on, throw on a jacket, and walk downstairs to meet the guy. It's not like he could see me leaving my apartment, so for all he knew, I'd walk like 10 blocks to be there. And like I said, if it seems sketchy, I could just leave, right? Anyway, I give the buyer a little wave as I approach his car, before having to politely decline taking the passenger side. Never get into cars with strange men, obviously. But he's only way too happy to get out. He didn't look quite like I expected him to either. Fancy car and all, but he looked like a history professor with some sort of meth habit. It's really all I can describe it as. Unshaven, barely washed, tweed jacket and crazy hair. The whole thing went down like a sketchy drug deal. I basically demanded to see the cash so I knew he was for real, and he was only too happy to show me. I could barely hide the delight on my face when I actually counted the cash, but that excitement paled in comparison to his own when he saw the little statue. From the way he was acting, I actually started to think I could have driven the price up by at least a couple of thousand. And in the end, I broke. I just had to ask why the little statue was worth so much to him. He looked at me like I just asked the most naive question imaginable, then said something that sent chills running down my spine. "If you only knew what this thing is capable of, the blood that has been spilled for it," he said, holding the little statue tight in his grip, like it was a cure for cancer or something. His eyes looked all wild, like he could barely contain himself, and his lips looked curled, like he might burst into a fit of giggling at any moment. I told him I'd keep an eye out for more statues like it, that maybe my grandpa had more of them stashed away somewhere. And he just smiled, and told me it was the only one that existed, how no one would ever find or create another like it. And then just like that, before I had the chance to ask him anything else, he just gets back into his car and takes off. And that was the end of it. I didn't ever learn anything else about the little statue or the guy who bought it, and honestly, I don't think I want to know anything else. The encounter in that parking lot was one of the most unnerving things that's ever happened to me. I don't think that little statue has any sort of powers or anything, and I don't doubt it was some kind of rare native art piece, something to justify the crazy price tag, but the thing that actually scared me was how that guy seemed to feverishly believe in whatever perceived power the thing had, and what he'll do as a result is obviously far more dangerous than any little carving or statuette. I just hope he doesn't do anything too crazy, like hurting other people or even himself, because then that $2,000 I made will be little more than blood money in my eyes, and I'll have played a part in something truly terrible. I just try not to think about it too much. It was a while ago now, and I didn't see anything about occult sacrifices in the paper or whatever, but every so often I think about that little black statuette and how it made me feel when I looked at it, and I wonder if there wasn't something more going on beneath the surface.